Let's turn together now. We've been hovering around our sermon text in our gospel reading. So if your finger's still there, just back one chapter to Matthew chapter 6. And our sermon text this evening, which will be the first half of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 12. We'll be dealing with the fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer in two halves. Tonight, the first half of the fifth petition, forgive us our debts. And so let's read again God's word. We'll begin in chapter 6 and verse 9, and we'll read through, stopping there in the first half of verse 12. And so again, let us hear God's word. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 9. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts. Let's pray together. Our gracious God and Father, please be with us now in the preaching and the hearing of the word. Let us hear the voice of our Savior, calling us to a true confession of our sin and assuring us of your grace and your mercy, that if we confess our sin, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Forgive us our debts. As a society and as a nation, we know a little something about debt, don't we? In all of its financial connotations, debt has become an all too common word in our day and age. So let's begin with what we know. We know financial debt. And when you're in debt, what's the first thing that you need to do? Well, you need to do a debt assessment. You need to figure out how much debt you are actually in. You can't come up with a viable plan to get out of debt until you know how deep the hole actually goes. And as we begin, it's as good a time as any to point out that you cannot pray the Lord's Prayer without acknowledging that you are a debtor before God. Here in the fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus is unequivocally telling us that every man, woman, and child on the earth is a debtor before God. Verse 9, pray then like this, forgive us our debts. Here is how you pray to God acceptably. By acknowledging that you are a debtor before Him. If you do not acknowledge that you are a debtor before God, you may say the Lord's Prayer with your lips. You may take its words upon your lips. But in reality, you are very far from Him. You have no intimate discourse with Him because you refuse to acknowledge the great barrier that stands between you and the Lord God Almighty. You cannot pray the Lord's Prayer in truth and in sincerity until you pray it acknowledging both with your lips and with your heart that you are a debtor before God. Otherwise, all you are doing in taking these words on your lips is heaping greater condemnation on yourself. So we are all debtors. The Lord Jesus has made that unequivocally clear for us. But before we can return to the question of how much debt we are in, we first have to ask another question. What kind of debt is this? What kind of debt? We know that our debt to God is not a financial debt. Remember what we just noticed. Every single man, woman, and child on the earth is a debtor before God. But not every single man, woman, and child on earth is in financial debt. In fact, there are many, many people in our world with assets in the millions and in the billions. And yet, even these must acknowledge that they are debtors in God's presence. All the money ultimately is His already, along with our very souls and our lives and every square inch of the universe. Our debt is not a debt of material things. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, we have Jesus teaching on the Lord's Prayer on a different occasion. And His teaching on this occasion is very instructive to us as we seek to understand the nature of the debt that we owe to God. Luke chapter 11 in verse 4. Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. On that occasion, Jesus teaches those who are listening to His teaching, forgive us our sins. The debt that we owe to God is a spiritual debt on account of sin. Our debt before God is our sin. And so we are all debtors before God. The debt that we owe to God is the spiritual debt of sin. Now we can address the question, how much debt are we actually in? How much spiritual debt are we in on account of our sins? How do we go about calculating such a debt? Well, first, we have to acknowledge that as creatures who were created by God in His image, expressly for the purpose of bringing Him glory through worship and through loving obedience, we have to acknowledge that we all owe God the perfect, never-ceasing love, obedience, and worship that is due to Him as creatures who are made in His image. This is what our lives should look like. Perfect, never-ceasing love, obedience, and worship. We have not given to God what is His due and what is our obligation. Far, far from it. Adam's fall into sin corrupted our very natures. And in his fall, we became evil. Instead of love toward God, we give hatred. Instead of obedience to Him, we give rebellion. And instead of worship of Him, we worship ourselves. We worship the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Our debt begins then with the original sin that we inherited from our father Adam. All of us, having descended from Adam by natural generation, fell with him and sinned in him in his first transgression. And on top of the original sin that we have all inherited from Adam, we add to that our actual sins. We are born with natures that are corrupted by sin, and out of those sin natures flow all of those actual transgressions that we commit every single day. All of the ways in which every day in thought, word, and deed, we do those things that God has told us not to do. And we do not do those things that God has told us to do. And often we focus very closely on the things that we do that God has told us not to do. But think of how great our sins of omission are. All those things that God has told us to do that we have not done, or that we have done for our own glory and our own praise and not His glory and His praise. We must then pray along with David, Psalm 25, verse 11, "For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great." It is great. But also, notice with me that what is true about the rest of the Lord's Prayer is also true here in the fifth petition. We pray corporately, "Forgive us our sins." And so we must not only reckon with our personal debt of sin, but the corporate debt of sin that we owe with the rest of the church and that we share with the whole of God's people. All the duties left undone, all of the reproach brought on the name of Christ, all of the coldness and deadness of worship and devotion, all of the fear and weakness and inconsistency in our witness to the world. Think of Daniel's prayer in Daniel chapter 9. "O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love Him and keep His commandments. We have sinned and done wrong and acted wickedly and rebelled, turning aside from Your commandments and rules. We have not listened to Your servants, the prophets, who spoke in Your name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. To You, O Lord, belongs righteousness, but to us, open shame, as at this day, to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and to all Israel, those who are near and those who are far away, in all the lands to which You have driven them, because of the treachery that they have committed against You." And listen to how Daniel ends his prayer. Verse 19, "O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, pay attention and act. Delay not for Your own sake, O my God, because Your city and Your people are called by Your name. Our Father in heaven, forgive us our debts, because Your city and Your people are called by Your name." So, original sin, actual sin, and corporate sin. After you've assessed the amount of debt, what's the next step? Well, the next step is to come up with a plan to pay it off. The next step is to come up with a plan to pay off your debt. Original sin, actual sin, corporate sin. What's your plan to pay off this debt? What's your plan? We couldn't pay the debt for one sin ourselves. And yet, our sinfulness is unfathomable in its depth. The depth of our rebellion against God in our flesh and in our sin natures. You have no resources to pay this debt yourself. Psalm 49, verses 7 and 8. "Truly, no man can ransom another or give to God the price of his life, for the ransom of their life is costly and can never suffice." Every sin is deserving of death and of God's wrath, because every sin is an attempt to dethrone God and even to ungod Him if we could. That is the depth of our treachery and our rebellion in our flesh apart from Christ. Every sin is ultimately an offense against God alone as the most aggrieved party. And so God alone is the only one who can deal with this debt and forgive our sins. There are so many things that people try to do to cover their sins and to pay their debt to God. But they are all useless. They all avail nothing. Again, you have no resources to pay this debt yourself, and neither does any other person on this earth. We must come to the end of ourselves. We must come to the place where we freely declare our spiritual bankruptcy before God. In order to pray the fifth petition in truth and in sincerity, you have to declare spiritual bankruptcy before God. You have to go to God and proclaim yourself utterly devoid of the resources necessary to pay this debt. And in so doing, you are throwing yourself on nothing but God's grace and God's mercy. For God is not bound by justice to release you from the debt that you owe. If you plead justice before God, if you plead fairness, you are calling down condemnation on yourself. Because justice would have us all condemned, and condemned righteously for the vast, innumerable host of our transgressions against God. By saying, "Father, forgive us our debts," you are proclaiming salvation to be nothing but grace, and grace alone. And praise be to God that He is gracious and He is merciful. We sang from Psalm 130, verses 3 and 4, "If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand?" And the implicit answer of that question being, absolutely no one. And then verse 4, "But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared." It's a simple petition. All that Jesus here tells us to pray is, "Father, forgive us of our sins." Yet this petition is drenched in the blood of our Savior. Even though Jesus hadn't yet gone to the cross when he taught his disciples to pray, "Father, forgive us our debts," remember that the background to the Lord's Prayer is the Old Covenant, the Mosaic system of the sacrifices. And as Hebrews 9:22 makes so clear, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. The Old Covenant taught God's people that forgiveness came only through the shedding of blood. And earlier in Hebrews chapter 9, our author there declares, "If the sprinkling of defiled persons with the blood of goats and bulls and with the ashes of a heifer sanctifies for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" The blood of Christ alone is the ground and basis of our forgiveness. That God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son to purchase for his people salvation by the shedding of his own blood. Christ, the righteous one, alone has the resources to clear us of our debts to God and His resources, even His own blood and righteousness, are fully sufficient to cover all the sins of all of His people. And so the Apostle John can say, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us of all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Have you truly embraced that God really is that extraordinarily gracious and merciful to His people? That extraordinarily forgiving. This is what God has been about since immediately after the fall, and all of the millennia afterwards, and all the coming years to the end of time itself. Working in time and in history, a glorious plan of redemption and grace and forgiveness centered around the work of His Son, centered around His precious blood. The gospel promise is true, that if you confess your sins, He is just and faithful to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And understand that when God forgives your sins, you are fully, eternally forgiven. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 25. I am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Psalm 103, verse 12. We will sing this following the sermon. As far as the east is from the west, so far does He remove our transgressions from us. Which raises the question, if the blood of Christ fully, finally, and eternally cleanses us of all of our sins, why then do we need to pray for forgiveness every day, as the Lord Jesus has taught us to pray? Every day. And the answer is that it is because we still sin every day. And so we need to ask for God's forgiveness every day. Not because our sins jeopardize our standing before God as justified sinners and as sons by adoption, but because as sons, we desire never to allow our sins to jeopardize the intimacy that we have with our Father. Harrison and Carson, when you disobey your father, do you fear that he will throw you out of the house? No, you don't. Because you have a loving father. And because you understand that you are secure in his love. But do you still need to ask for his forgiveness? As loving sons, do you desire to ask for his forgiveness so that there won't be any barriers or obstructions in your relationship with him? Do you see the dynamic that is at work there? And the analogy extends to our relationship with God, that we are secure in our Father's love because of the work of Christ. And our disobedience as children never puts us out of his house. But if you are a true child, you never want there to be any obstructions, any barriers in the intimacy that you have with God through Christ. And so you repair to him daily for the forgiveness of your sins. No one treasures intimate fellowship with the Father like Jesus treasures intimate fellowship with the Father. And he has taught us to pray, Father, forgive us our sins, so that we might walk with God each and every day in the undisturbed intimacy of fellowship that he has purchased for us with his own blood. Because of the cross of our Lord Jesus, the judge has been satisfied. Payment of debt has been tendered in full. We now relate to God as our heavenly Father. Christ has endured the curse on our behalf, and he now clothes us with his own spotless righteousness. So don't ever hesitate to run to God in confession of sin and in plea for pardon because you don't think that you're worthy. God never forgives anyone. He has never forgiven anyone because they are worthy. He forgives them because he is gracious and because his promise is true, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And so run to him in the name of Christ and pray without fear for the glory of your Father who is in heaven. Father, forgive us our debts. Let's pray together. Our gracious Father, we praise you and we thank you that you are true and that you have revealed yourself truly in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that as the Lord Jesus teaches us to pray for forgiveness, he teaches us to do so knowing infinitely more than any of us your character, your mercy, and the abundant forgiveness that you have toward all those who pray for forgiveness in the name of your Son. And so each and every day, Father, let us treasure the intimacy that we have with you through Christ. And so let us pray to you without fear, each and every day, drawing near to the throne of grace through the intercession of our great high priest. Father, forgive us of our debts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.